everyone. Welcome back to another episode from Tales from the Mine, episode 3. I'm Marty.
And I'm Lou.
And we've got new mics, so hopefully we sound not like shit. If we sound better, if we sound worse, let us know. We don't know what we're doing. It's going to be great. And we'll see how this turns out.
We totally aren't fumbling our way through this whole podcast thing.
Yeah, we're professional podcasters. Like and subscribe.
Oh no.
They look nice though. They look very pretty. I've got the blue one, Lou's got the black one, and they're so sexy. But let's get started. Let's start. We have a lot in our fake news section today, so let's dive in.
So first up in fake news, we've got the dev diary that we're all really looking forward to. It was going to be the start of really a new phase from Niantic with communication with us and stuff after everything that happened with...
Well, sorry, a restart of an old phase that everyone forgot about because they used to do dev diaries and they stopped.
True,
and they
that,
were like,
that
no,
was
we're...
like the first, what, 6 months of the game?
No, it was like the second or third year. They were doing like very long dev diaries with all, like, not all, but like a bunch of the developers get their insights into things. I remember the first official mention of the tag feature we were data mining was in one of those dev diaries.
Was it?
And then they just disappeared.
No,
I honestly do not remember. Oh, yeah. No, they were fantastic. And then they went away, and now they're pretending these dev diaries are new.
Yeah. and these dev diaries that are back are not dev diaries, which has upset me greatly. it was a marketing guy talking at the screen for, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5-7 minutes. He did a very good job.
Yeah, he did.
As a marketing video, it was great. As a dev diary, it was not a dev diary.
No, there wasn't a single dev on screen. There wasn't even a mention of development at all. And it really didn't even talk about the game's development. It talked about community days, which is nothing to do with the development of the game.
And like, it was almost there. Like, it was cool because like they started to touch on like some of the reasoning behind choosing something. Hmm. But that was like as far as they go. They're like, we decide based on multiple factors. What are those factors?
Yeah, it's like I could have told you that was you decide based on some sort of factor. I don't think we're just throwing darts at the Pokemon chart and being like, this is the Pokemon we've got this time round.
Yeah, there's like no actual like thought process into it's like it's just an announcement. We have a thought process. Mm. Don't worry.
Also, I kind of expected they would have mentioned the whole community voting thing that was around for a short while and then disappeared as well, but I guess they didn't even want to touch on that either.
Yeah, that's a good point. They didn't mention that or what the decisions went into that or why they did or didn't do that. It's weird. It was good, but it definitely felt like a ad for Community Day. Like it felt like that was a marketing video that like if I haven't played the game in a few years, oh, what's Community Day about? Watch this video.
Yeah. I also did find it quite interesting that they mentioned, because people, they mentioned explicitly in the video about the timing of Community Day and how long it lasts, which is currently 6 hours. Again, they didn't mention if that's going to stay at 6 hours for the foreseeable future now, if that's going to go back to the old 3 hours again. But then I noticed that Pikmin Community Day is like 9 hours long.
Yeah, but have you seen, I'm actually going to play that, to be honest, but have you seen what that Pikmin Community Day is though?
To be honest, all I saw was like walking 10K and that was about all I saw.
Yeah, exactly. So like there's nothing that you really do in it. And you get like their version of eggs. You get like half distance and you get extra petals, I think, or something. There's some other bonuses. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. We're not a Pikmin podcast. But like it made sense that that was stretched out because like there wasn't like there's definitely not enough content for like 3 hours in there for like the short community days. There's definitely not enough content for 6 hours. So I think it was just like, here's a large enough time so you do it whenever you want and you'll probably be done in an hour.
Right.
So I think that was the logic behind it. But what also was interesting is that the reasoning for the 6 hours was so they don't do or so they wanted people together. But they didn't really mention about the transition from 3 to 6 hours.
No.
And what their thought process was behind that, because if their argument or their reasoning is we want people to get together, then you would expect them to go back to the 3 hours.
Which would, again, piss a lot of people off, which I think is probably the reason that they haven't done that. But yeah, I don't get why they wouldn't even mention, like, because people at this point, people still don't know if 6 hours are going to stick around or if it's still just until the pandemic stuff is over.
Yeah, it's true. The 6 hours was never officially a COVID bonus, right? It was never on that list of.
No, but it was introduced during COVID, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, I think it's like the 6 hours is definitely better because you don't feel rushed to play the full, you know, to go hard for 3 hours. If it's a crappy community day, you can kind of go casually. And
yeah, I haven't met a single person that's like, I don't want it to be 6 hours long. It's like, you can just play 3 hours and go home. Like, that's the joy of it.
What? That's an option?
Yeah, I know. Funny that. But yeah, so I'm hoping the next one might actually be a dev diary this time. But we'll see. And then we got a small tease for the next community day as well, which was an electric Pokemon from Sinnoh, which no one could work out what that was. And that takes us into our next fake news topic.
Yeah, so they announced Community Day Shinx. We were right and then wrong and then right about this. So we data mined the assets at first. We thought maybe it was for Community Day, and then we saw the DD stickers and Electric Quest, so we thought maybe this is part of a larger Electric event. But it was just Shinx Community Day. And those Electric events was not really an Electric event, it was part of the Festival of Light and stuff like that. So that is Community Day Shinx, which was new ish for us. They, with the bonuses, we didn't have any heads up about Shinx other than that photobomb beforehand. They did after they pushed text for a 4x chance of catch candy XL. So you'd have a higher chance of getting XL candy from catches. And they pushed that with the first batch of Shinx Community Day items or like texts. And so what was weird about that is that it didn't match up with what the blog said. And so it was either a mistake or it was something used for something different, but they did eventually, they just updated the Shinx texts a couple days ago. They basically rewrote Willow's dialogue. It basically says the same thing, but it was rewritten quite a bit, and in that they added the XL candy on transfer. So but we didn't obviously know whether that's a really big bonus that was added that isn't that wasn't in it hasn't been a Community Day bonus yet, but that's kind of cool to see that. Psychic Fangs, they did add, they've been following and like adding some stats to the blog. A lot of people are like, oh, they've added all the stats, that they add a third of the stats. We still need to see what they actually are when they're added. They basically, which I think is a good balance, they show the stats that you would see in the game, but they don't show the stats that you wouldn't see in the game. And so that is better than nothing, but that really doesn't tell you anything. So we'll have to see what the final stats are, but it is 40 power and 100% chance to lower opponent's defense in PvP. And in PvE, it's 30 power. But that really could mean nothing, because that could be 40 power, 100% chance to lower opponent defense, and an energy of 0.5, which it will not be. But it doesn't really tell you how that move is going to perform.
Yeah, without knowing the power, the energy costs, and the timings in PvE, you've got no way of judging it as an attack at all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's definitely better than something. It does give you a ballpark, because like there are certain, like if it's a 40 power move, it probably has a certain range of timing and a certain energy that you come to expect. There's like a range that you're starting to formulate and predict. So it's definitely better than nothing, and more communication is obviously better, but we won't know final stats and how it actually performs until it hits the Game Master. And then there's a special research. As I mentioned, it was rewritten a little bit, but it was mostly standard Community Day stuff. Willow talks about a Pokemon and goes on a rant about stuff. I don't actually remember anything memorable from this one, not like when he went on his rant about berries. But that's Willow. They also announced the Day of the Dead event. I don't think we had anything to signify what this was before it was coming. Do you remember anything that was added?
Yeah, after it was announced, we started finding some stuff, but before that, I don't think we saw any mention of the Day of the Dead stuff at all.
Actually, there was this wasn't a hint for the event itself, but the lore modules and incense lasting 90 minutes, those texts were pushed before they announced this.
Yes, but they were very generic. They could have been for anything.
Exactly. There was no way to know that this was for this. So yeah, we had no idea about this, but they pushed all the collection challenge, the shirts, all that stuff. This event's obviously over now, so moving on.
And then we're into the event that's running at the moment as we record this podcast, which is Festival of the Light. Mm-hmm. So this is a two-part event. So part one, we knew a decent amount of. We fully expected Dedenne to be coming to the game because we had the stickers, which are called Festival of the Light stickers, featuring Dedenne. And then shortly after that, we saw the sprites and stuff as well, and the stats and the moves get updated. So yeah, we were fully expecting Dedenne to be coming. And we also found the text for more of the story for the Season of the Mischief stuff, which I imagine most of you have now played through. We're at part 14 or 16 now? Something like that?
Yeah.
We're very close to the end.
Yeah, there's a one part in the research that hasn't been... We're at 14, yeah. So 15, we data mined, which you'll talk about, I guess, in a second. But that isn't live yet. That'll be part of the Rocket event.
Yes. Then we saw the fireworks effect added to the overworld, which obviously we can't data mine that until it actually goes live. So we didn't know that was going to be coming. And we had the new clothing. Cool, yeah, the fireworks are nice. They don't come out very often. When was the last time we saw them now? Was it GoFest? Yeah.
I feel like or the Ultron lock.
Yes, yeah, probably that. Yeah. And then we had the new clothing. So we had the Dedenne hat. Was it shoes and backpack?
Backpack and a hat.
Yes. And then the Festival of the Light t-shirt as well. And that's about it for the Festival of Light. There are a few spawns, but nothing particularly super interesting. Just a lot of electric types and that sort of thing. And then we got part two, which is With Light Comes Shadow. So this is the rocket event we've got coming. We didn't know for sure there's going to be a rocket event, but we were suspecting it's going to be soon. First of all, based on some of the things we've seen being added into the game, but also the fact that we really should be getting a rocket event at least once per season, and we're coming towards the end of this season now as well.
Yeah, we didn't get... Go Stadium announced that we would get one every season. We just didn't get one last season at all.
Did we?
No, there wasn't. It's been 5-6 months since the last frustration one. So I don't know. Obviously, they were told wrong information or changed information or something. But they definitely announced that it was going to be a frustration event.
Yeah.
Or I think their wording was like Niantic intends to do a frustration event once every 3 months and plan for that. And now it's been so long since the last frustration event.
Or is the issue is they did it at the very start of the last season, and now it's right at the end of this season, so it feels like it's so long apart.
No, there was a post on Sylph about it a few weeks back, and someone tried to, and like there was just straight up not a frustration event in the last season.
I do wish they just get rid of the frustration event thing. I just don't really see the reason behind locking it behind special events, but whatever. It is what it is.
They are powerful, so I kind of get that. My entire raid parties are all shadows.
Yeah.
So fair. These frustration events are like my opportunity to like update my raid parties. Because why would you use a Muggle Pokemon?
Fair enough. Hi, it's Lewis. Just interrupting the podcast here for a second. In this next section, we're going to talk about the Festival of Light Part 2, which we didn't know about when we recorded this podcast. But since then, the event has actually started and they have announced the details. Needless to say, we're a bit disappointed about the Lugia, but it is what it is. We'll probably talk about them more in the next podcast, but for now, we'll get you back into the rest of it. We found some text for this as well. So we've got the Willow text for the next part of the Season of Mischief stuff, and we've got some Giovanni text as well. So it looks like Giovanni is finally making his comeback after being gone for, 3 months now? Since Shadow
I feel Ho-Ho? Like it's longer than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. I guess I could check when I come to Shadow Ho-Ho, and that'll tell us.
Yeah, but yeah, it has been quite a long time. And then we saw Shadow Lugia get added to the Game Master as well. So it looks like the next Shadow is probably going to be Shadow Lugia. We are all very much hoping that the reason for this delay is because they were trying to get the asset for Shadow Lugia right. Because if they mess this up, I'm going to be upset. Anyone else is, I'm sure, going to be very upset as well.
Yeah, I don't know if they have the right, I would love for it to be the Gale of Darkness one, but I don't know, who technically owns the rights to that. And
TPC Game Freak, etc., own the rights to it. It's not owned by the studio that created the game.
Okay. So then they have access to it then.
Yes. So as long as TPC let them use it, they're allowed to use it. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's very interesting that they haven't updated Lugia's assets, period, which normally they add, like, the flames and the
red
eyes.
And... Yeah. We've seen none of that so
far. Yeah, none of that's been added, which normally that comes slightly before the Game Master update.
Yes.
We've seen, like, they always add the assets and then they add the Game Master. Mm. So the fact that that's missing is either A, a mistake, or B, they're holding out for a fancier Lugia.
Yes. And they haven't got long to add it. Is assuming it starts on the second part of the event. They've only got, as of recording this podcast, 2 days to add it in, so that'll be interesting.
They also, as of this podcast, haven't really announced the full Rocket event, right? They just said you can TM Frustration and there's more to come, but they haven't actually announced Giovanni.
No. So I assume that will come at Niantic o'clock on Monday? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Hopefully. You would think. It'll come on the 9th at 1 minute before 9 o'clock.
Doesn't the event start on the 9th, though?
Yeah. That's the joke.
Don't all events start at local time now?
You're ruining the joke. Yes, fine. The joke wasn't funny to begin with, I guess.
No, it wasn't, so I had to punish you for it.
Fine. Okay, but yes, we'll hopefully see that soon.
Yes.
But we next up in the events, we have the Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl celebration event. We did not know anything about this, but it was pretty obvious that there's going to be a tie-in. There's a big new moneymaker for TPC, so of course they're going to tell Pokemon Go to cash in on that because money!
Who doesn't love money?
Who doesn't love money? But it is cool. I'm excited for those. I haven't played Gen 4 and Gen 5 are the two mainstream games I haven't played, so this will actually be a new run for me, so that'll be kind of exciting.
You're much better than me. I played Gen 1, then stopped, and then came back with Pokemon Go. So I've already played Gen 1 and Sword and Shield.
Oh, fair. There's a lot of content in there. A lot of catch up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks fun. But after they announced it, they added costumes. They added costumes. I was going to say stickers, but that is wrong. They were stickers added, but they were costumes for the starters. And they're not specifically male and female labeled in the assets, but they do have the male and female hats from those main games. So it's probably safe to assume that the Sinnoh starters will have the male will have the male hat and the female will have the female hat. But there's six costumes to collect, all with shinies. Assuming they will be shiny, the shinies were pushed, and all the shinies are available normally. So you would it's safe to assume.
I would expect they will be shiny as soon as they come out, because it's not like this event's going to happen again, really, is it? So
yeah, exactly. Maybe in 25 years when they do Brilliant Shining Super Mega Diamond remake.
Maybe.
They have time to fix the name, though. Don't worry.
They do. hopefully, they have a better marketing guy than Marty.
What? I am fantastic at marketing. I do all the naming for all of our wonderful asset updates, and it's fantastic. Like 0223 assets.
Yeah.
You don't get that for free.
No, you don't. Did you work for Niantic secretly in their marketing department?
Oh, yeah. I was fired, but yeah. That's why I started Pokemoners. Oh, that would be a story. But the stickers are pretty explanatory, or are pretty expected. There was the Sinnoh starters, Dialga, Palkia, but also Lucario was pushed as well. So not sure what that. It might just be because people love Lucario, but maybe that means Ryolu will hatch more. Actually, before I go too far with that, did they announce?
They haven't.
Anything
no.
About the
all they've announced is the event and the dates. That's all they've announced. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I'm not okay. So maybe there's something with Ryolu and Egghatches.
I'm expecting. Well, I say expecting. I'm hoping for Mega Lucario is what I'm hoping for, but I'm not sure that will actually happen.
That would be good.
It would be. And they have started adding new megas again, so it kind of hopefully makes sense.
It does, and there's no other big headline. Yeah, because like Dialga, Palkia can already be shiny. Yeah, I guess there's no other big headliners of that event.
Yeah, and we all know that Lucario, shiny Lucario and Riolu are money makers as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see that.
I always find it interesting. I thought this during the Let's Go event, I think, where it's like, there's an event in Pokemon Go to promote a game, but in order to promote that game, you don't want people playing Pokemon Go. You want people playing the new game. And so it's like, you almost want to like have an event that doesn't really entice you to play it so you can go play the other thing.
No, what you want people to do is you want people to buy the new game, go to work, go play Pokemon Go, then come home and play the new game, and then rinse and repeat until they're done. That's what they're trying to make happen. Smart. And that is probably what is actually happening for a lot of people as well, to be fair.
that is true. So, there you go. This is why you're actually in marketing. I have no idea if you're in marketing.
I am not in marketing. God, no. Right, and then that's about it for the Diamond and Pearl stuff that we know of. I'm sure we'll get more on the blog post on that in the near future as well. The last bits we have is we have a unknown ? Event again, because Niantic love these unknown events that they announce without an announcement as well.
Shiny unknown confirmed.
No, not that again. And then so we've got an epic event to close out the season. In which we're finished the current research length for going across the season. And if you've completed that, you'll get a special research story about Hooper, which we're expecting is probably going to be Hooper's form change to Hooper Unbound. There's been a lot of text talking about, like, the Team Rocket shadow text is about Team Rocket trying to harness the power of Hooper Unbound and stuff as well. So we'll see what happens with that. We saw its moves added to the game in this update as well, which I'll come to a bit later. So that's probably what we're expecting from that, but nothing's been announced so far. And if you haven't unlocked it for free, you can obviously buy it for $5 as well, because they've got to make their money somehow.
It's weird that it's like you can buy it, but like in theory, like the research is still active, right? So yes. So it's like you could just complete the research. But I guess some of the older ones was like Catch Furfru. Yeah. So that actually would be very difficult to do now if you miss that.
Yeah, event. And in things like, one of them was like, wasn't it Catch 30 Ghosts as well, which is not an easy thing to do a lot of the time.
Yeah, true. Okay, I guess that makes sense. Yeah. At least it's an option. I know a lot of people are upset that it's behind a paywall, but...
I'm fine with it, because if you've played the game, then you've got access to it. If you don't, you can buy into it, which is how a lot of games tend to run anyway, so...
Yeah, I agree. I think if I was to nitpick, the only thing would be maybe announce that at the beginning so people know if I don't want to do this, I can just spend $5 later, or I should really try and do this. So
They did announce quite early on that at the end of this you would get a special research if you finished it. So
I guess that's true. Yeah, they just did announce you can buy it if not.
But they've done that exact thing before, so I think it's probably to be expected at this point.
That's a good point. Yeah. I, like many other people, probably forgot about that. But yes, you're right.
That's about it. That's all we know for that one. So I'm sure we'll get more details on that soon. And then on to the last little bit is, this isn't actually being posted by Niantic, I don't think. Or if it was, it might just be in a tweet. But they also got the Nike and JD Sports sponsorship. So across the UK and Europe, a load of stops and gyms popped up at JD Sports and Nike locations. And by spinning those stops, you can get some free clothes, which we found the clothes in the asset listing a little while ago. And then after that, they got added to the game. And then shortly after that, they actually tweeted about them and all the Pokestops went live across the game. That's about it for those, really. Not too much interesting to say. The clothing's pretty bland. It's just some Nike trainers, a backpack, and a t-shirt. So.
Yeah, but it's cool that, in terms of advertising, I think that's one of the smarter types of advertising, where it's you go to the location to get the item, which has virtually zero value.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of if I want to go and get that item, oh, I'm also in the Nike store. That's a lot nicer than here's a balloon that shows up and we're going to do a full screen ad about tacos.
Yes. Yeah. I'm fine with this kind of sponsorship because it doesn't affect the gameplay loop or anything. It's just, if you're at that location, you can spin the stop and you get some free stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly. Good use of advertisement.
Yeah. And that's about it for our fake news section. We've got some other bits as well that we've data mined that we assume are coming soon. Maybe coming soon, who knows? Because we had the global and regional challenges updated. So we found these quite a while ago now, I want to say. Was it like 6, 7, 8 months ago?
I think it was June, but yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, because I think we might have thought they would have been tied to GoFest, but it seems like they weren't. But yeah, so it seems like we're getting some regional challenges where it might be like trainers in Europe versus team trainers in Asia versus trainers in America and that sort of thing. But we haven't got too much to go on this yet, just some text, but it'll be interesting to see where that develops into. Might be a bit more interesting than the different teams against each other.
Yeah, because like the whole team rivalry hasn't really been, it wasn't even a theme at like the last two GoFest, was it?
No.
As much as it was in like...
But the issue is like, it's always like, I mean, I'm an instinct trainer and we always come last because we have the fewest players. It's just like, it's never a fair battle.
Oh, actually, I have a fix for that. If you just open the game, go to the shop, scroll down, there is a little icon that says Team Medallion. Yeah. You can actually tap that and you don't have to suck anymore.
Wow. I'm happy sticking to my team that respects themselves more than just being winners. And considering how much fewer trains we have, we usually do fairly well in the challenges still.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You do very well for last place.
Yeah, thanks. One down, I'm going to take your phone and just change your team.
I have a friend that changes his team once a year, just like constantly rotates them. Keeps things fresh.
Why? That's the worst kind of person.
I don't know why. I just know that he does it.
That's his favorite. Does he change his favorite sports from every year as well, based on who won the last cup?
Isn't that called just bandwagoning?
Yes.
So isn't that like most sports people that I know?
Maybe, to be fair.
But yes.
Yeah. We also saw Wayfarer categories added. So these categories are already in Wayfarer. When you're doing reviews and stuff, it might ask you to put those details in. But it seems like we might get the option now to put them into Pokemon Go ourselves. When you're submitting a stop, it might say, what type of stop is this? And you can say, it's a village hall, it's a postbox, it's a fair, it's whatever. I don't know what the rest of them are, but yeah, all that sort of stuff.
I haven't added a new stop in like forever. Can you not do that now? I honestly don't know.
The last time I did one was before the most recent change, so it's been possible it's been added now, but I don't think so. But yeah, it was just literally photo, place, title, description, supporting information. That was it. So.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, if anyone knows otherwise, yell at us.
Yeah.
PokemonHunterOfficial@gmail.com and tell us that we're wrong.
I do know that the new limit's alive now, though. So it's using the...
Yes, I saw that.
The 40 maximum, I think. So.
Yeah.
And then, as we mentioned before, we've got upcoming Shadow/Giovanni and Hooper research. So the Shadow stuff, as we said, mentions Team Rocket are trying to get Hooper unbound and get control of it themselves. They've turned another legend into a Shadow Pokemon, but it texts explicitly don't mention which one. Now that could be a whole, why they mention which one, but I think it's more likely to be the fact that people aren't completing stuff on time, and so it's like, capture this shiny this Shadow Ho-Ho, and you're like, but it's a Zapdos.
So yeah, I think that is the more logical reason for sure. It does make it hard to data mine it and figure out what it is, but for the game itself, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll stop that sort of thing and just make it more generic. I'm sure the titles might still be related to the current one. But yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Because like the 7-color rainbow, it doesn't really make sense for Mewtwo.
No. And then the last part of the Hooper research we saw as well, which I don't think mentioned too much of interest. It just goes on about Hooper and the fact that your bond with him is getting better and better again. So again, I'm sure that whole bond being better will turn into a form change thing at some point, eventually.
He does... Yeah, Willow does strongly imply you will be form changing Hoopa. He doesn't outright say it, but he does say, like, unlock this Hoopa's potential and we will see its full power. So it's like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. So he does strongly imply it. So my, I think it's a safe assumption is that
I wonder if this whole season's research will use the thing that this season brought in newly, form changing, that everyone's really excited about that has not yet actually been utilized very well.
No, I hope they add it. I really hope they add it to more things. And they're not just using it for like two gimmicky, like Fufuru and then like one research thing and it's over.
Yeah, that will be very upsetting if that's the case.
Yeah. Come on, Giratina.
Would be nice. I don't care if it costs me 100 candy, just let me do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have nothing else to use my Stardust on right now, so like give me something to form change.
Dare I ask how much Stardust you have at the moment?
I did spend a lot on Halloween Cup, but I'm back up a little bit now. I'm at 12.3 million.
Oh no, whatever will you do? You're only at 12.3 million.
I know. It's basically poverty levels.
I'm happy with my five.
Five period or 5 million?
5 million.
Oh, okay.
Although I did see someone post on our Discord the other day that had like 9 Stardust. I was like, how is that even possible?
Some people try and always go for like zero. They're always doing whatever they can to like hit like that absolute zero. And then if they catch something, they'll immediately spend it.
Mental.
That seems stressful. But yeah, so that kind of covers the like what we think is coming up. There's not a whole lot there in terms of new events that are kind of hinting. There is, as we mentioned the last episode, there is a Holiday 2021 costume in the previous APK. This isn't in the new APK, but there's obviously going to be a holiday event. Surprise!
What? No. So,
I wonder what it could be. So I'm sure we'll start to see that soon. But that gets us into our new data mine of 223. There's technically 223s first up. So as you might have seen, they added one. They added 223 about a week ago, and then they added another one to the Play Store about 2 days ago. I guess now 3 days ago, and it. Is an actual new version of 223 that installs as a new app. It has a new build time. It has new compiled library times, but it's not an actual version increase. So it's effectively a 223.1, but for whatever reason, either they forgot or maybe there's some other reason that they didn't want to increase the version number. But it's odd because that means that like phones won't auto update to it. Because it doesn't see it as a new version. If they force 223, it could force just the old 22. It's very weird why they did this. I'm not really sure why, but they rolled it out. I was half expecting them to like re-upload this 223.1 and then start the rollout.
Yeah, I was very surprised when it actually got rolled out. I was fully expecting it to be pulled and then changed.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just going to cause confusion, I think. But they both work. There's no serious bugs, at least as far as I know, between either of them. Let's get into, I guess, what we saw. So you can see the full teardown on our website if you want. But we'll kind of cover the highlights here. We did when they come out on weekends, we like to combine our in-depth and our digging deepers into one because it's just easier and faster to get them all done together at that point. But sometimes when they come out on, like, a Tuesday, it's a lot harder to do that in time. So we have, this is a Meteor teardown. So lots of cool stuff in here. First up, the Psychic Fangs, as expected. We were having the Shinx, or is there the Luxray? Luxray is the final form, right? Or is that the second form?
Yeah.
Yeah. So its move was added. But also, more interestingly, Hyperspace Fury and Hyperspace Hole were added. And both of those are the signature moves of Hoopa Bound and Hoopa Unbound. So further evidence to suggest that they will be coming. It's also interesting that they're adding both. So maybe when you like form change it, Fury becomes Hole, for example. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah. Although, didn't they say that it was supposed to be that when the form change now, it keeps the moves?
It's up to them. That was for Furfuru specifically. Oh, like, okay. The way that the the game, it works the same as evolution, where when you initiate an evolution or a form change, it actually creates a whole new Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then it copies certain things. So for Furfur, they can be like, okay, whatever your old moves were, I'm just going to copy it to the new Pokemon. This could be whatever your old moves are, copy it. If one of them was Fury, make it whole, for example. So they could basically do whatever they want on that. So that might be what they do, or it could just be it's guaranteed when you form change it, it's guaranteed to get Hole or Fury or something like that, or just a reroll, a complete reroll, which is what Furfru was doing originally. They added Pokemon Go Plus Simulator option in settings, so it shows up in advanced settings. Not advanced settings, just in the settings menu, sorry. And this could just be a debugging thing. There's like this was added, the section was added in the code, and there's nothing inside of it. So it could be a debug option that they're using for just testing things out, because I'm sure they're not going out and like connecting a bunch of Pokemon Go Pluses all over the place. But it would be very cool to have a Pokemon Go Plus simulator, or like a virtual one that you don't have to physically connect. I think your theory was this would be tied to a potential subscription service.
Yeah, it feels like it would make sense to have because there's not like they're really selling Pokemon Go Pluses anymore anyway. But I suppose who actually buys a Go Plus and doesn't buy a gotcha or gotcha equivalent at this point anyway? So it's no longer a moneymaker for them. However, if they were like, you know, £5 a month in your game and your subscription and you get this as well, people would probably end up buying it, I expect. So it wouldn't surprise me.
I would 100% buy that.
Yeah.
It's always so annoying having to reboot the game and then waiting the freaking 3 seconds. Not 3 seconds, like 10, 15 seconds for the Plus to connect. And on my old phone, the Pokeball Plus, I have a Plus and a gotcha. And like the ball and the gotcha. And the ball was almost impossible to connect on my Pixel 4. You'd have to connect it 3 times for it to finally connect. If you rebooted your game, it was just like a good minute to 2 minutes of like fucking around with this thing trying to get it to work. But on the Pixel 6, it connects instantly. It's much better now. So it's probably a Bluetooth issue on the Pixel 4, because Pixels traditionally have not had good Bluetooth. But if I don't have to deal with any of that, I just boot the game up and I say, like, one thing that's actually really dumb that I like about Pikmin is that they basically have like a plus built into the game. It's when you start planting flowers, it'll just like constantly track your location. It destroys your battery and your RAM, but it's constantly running in the background while you're planting flower, or while you're out. So like you could like start this thing and then switch to Pokemon Go and go on your walk, and it's running the game and it's like planting flowers for you in the background. And so like, I can imagine something very similar for this. You just activate this thing. It can maybe still have the hour timeout that the regular one has, so it doesn't go forever. But that would be a nice little bonus, I think, that I would for sure pay for.
Yeah, very much so.
The most exciting thing though in this update is full FPS. So there, we saw in the APK in advanced settings, there is a toggle that will enable you to activate full frame, your full frame rate. We did a lot of digging into this because this sounded really cool, and we can confirm that when this is activated, it does unlock your full frame rate, which is awesome. So it just needs to be activated when Niantic pushes it. Then they added the texts. They're calling it native refresh rate, I think is what they called it in the text.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, and so it's exactly what we expect. You enable this, it'll tell you like you'll have to, you know, make sure that you're gonna get the full frame rate, and it could affect battery, and then it'll run at full frame rate. So for a comment that I saw on Reddit, which I hate to admit, but I think this guy was probably right, it's probably no coincidence that the iPhone, after 27 billion years, they finally come out with a phone that has 120 hertz refresh rate, and all of a sudden Pokemon Go gets updated to use full refresh rate.
It is almost certainly the reason. It's very upsetting that is the reason for it.
Yeah, like Android phones have had 120, even 90 hertz refresh rates for what, like 3, 4, 5 years now. I don't remember when the first Samsung. So like forever then.
Yeah.
And when Apple does something, the whole industry freaking shits itself and catches up. And I hate the reasoning, but I will.
If you can't tell, me and Marty both really love Apple.
Oh yeah, we're giant Apple fanboys. we really love everything Apple does. They're a really good company. Highly recommend all of their products. okay, that we should start an Apple rant podcast. People will listen to that, right?
We could have started a podcast about us talking about the Pixel 6 Pro for the last 6 months, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, just the amount of leaks and rumors, and yeah, that's true. We'll just change it. Welcome to Marty and Lou's phone exposition. but yeah, so either way, that's really cool. Regardless of the reason, Apple or not, it'll be awesome to be able to run the game at full frame rate. And for me personally, Pokemon Go broke in the last Unity update back in February or March. I used to at least be able to run the game at 45 hertz on my Pixel 4. Because it had a 90 hertz refresh rate, and then they updated Unity and it broke that. So I've been running the game at Muggle 30 frames per second for the last, like, what is it, 8 months, and it's just been the worst. Like, I haven't stopped playing since the game came out, but like, my playtime definitely decreased when I went down to 30 frames, because I'm like, this looks like garbage. I cannot deal. But so now with the 60 frames, I've been playing a lot more because like, this looks so good. So it's amazing how like, just like the quality of, not even graphics, but I guess like the smoothness of the game really affects at least my willingness to play this game.
It definitely does. Like, when something looks bad, you just don't want to be looking at it for several hours, so you just stop playing.
Yeah, exactly. So no, this is a long segment on frame rate, but well, we're excited for frame rate. So but in terms of the assets, we got assets for in 223, we got assets for fire, for Psychic Fangs, some effects like a chomping animation, which will be kind of cool. But we also got, it's called Plate in the 3D asset, but when you render it out, it looks like a Hoopa ring. And what's interesting is that this isn't the ring that appears in the sky that we already have, and it isn't a ring that seems to be attached to a Pokemon. It seems to be a separate asset from that. So we'll see what they use this for.
I literally just had a thought of what that could be for, and it could be for the form change animation instead of the default one.
Oh, interesting. So yeah, it like goes through a ring and then comes out as Unbound.
Something like that.
That's kind of cool. It's interesting that it's called Plate though. Like, is there, do you know,
well, I'm thinking it's like, because when you do evolution, you've got the plate that they stand on, haven't you? So it could be replacing that.
Maybe. Or it's Plate is an, I feel like Plate is also like an actual 3D animation term that we're us not being 3D animators don't know, but it could be like very zero, like just like a basic, like, you know, like billboards, you know, just like a term used. So we'll see.
And then this update was where we got some changes to the way full inventory is displayed. So when you get a full item inventory or Pokemon collection, the number in the top will turn red to let you know. And also when you're on the main screen, the Pokeball that's at the bottom of your screen, the center circle will turn red instead of white as well, to let you know that something is full, you need to manage it. So that's quite a nice little quality of life change. Makes it easier to tell. Mm-hmm. Especially for me, I'm always like, oh, my item bag's full, I don't even notice. So that would be a useful thing to let me know that that happens.
Yeah, I actually use Companion. I don't know if you use that app, but it yells at you when your bag or Pokemon storage is full. So this isn't as big an issue for me.
I used to use it, but then the Antic turned off the requiring you to have the notification running. So I took that off and stopped using that app.
They fixed that. Yeah, that was broken for a long time, but they fixed it now, or a while ago, and it works again.
No, I know it works, but I turned off the notification fully for Pokemon Go.
I see what you're saying.
Because it annoyed me that my phone would vibrate every single time it updated, so I was just like, nope, turn that off.
You can just silence it, which is what I do.
Yeah, I can do that now, though you couldn't do that on the older Androids, but I'll probably give that a go
soon. Oh, fair. I just have it muted, so it's still there. But I see. So look at that. Troubleshooting real time.
And you've now as well got the ability to choose between different raid balls during the raid encounter. So currently there's been no additional balls added to this update. If you go in a raid, you're still just getting premier balls and there is no ball icon that appears. However, if you do select a berry and you click where the ball icon would be, which is where it shows you the number of premier balls remaining, it will switch you back to the premier ball for you. Now, I'm really hoping this means we're going to get some new ball types coming to the game soon where you can catch without using a Premier Ball, whether that be, some people would say Master Ball, but I don't think it will be that. I think it might be things like Lore Balls and Heavy Balls and all the special weight corn balls that are in the Pokemon.
Or Beast Balls for Ultra Beasts.
Yeah, that sort of thing as well. So that would be an interesting change to see if something happens there. And also,
but at least it's like... No, that's right. I was just going to say, at least like you can back out of the berry now, which at the very least, it's a nice fix.
Yes. Although I've never known that to be an issue, because I've always just, if I clicked on a berry, I'm just like, I'm just going to throw a berry, because it's not very often I'm doing a Raid Boss and not just throwing a Golden Raz at it, so.
Yeah, that's true. It's I find it, the only time that it's tripped me up is when it's like a crappy like one star or something, and I only have Graz or Snaps, and I don't want to use either of them on it.
I'm always building gold, binning Golden Raz anyway, so if I have to waste one, it doesn't bother me.
That's true.
And then one thing as well that we didn't notice but was in the release notes was the boss screen. So when you click on a raid boss for the first time, you obviously get the whole animation where it shows you the boss and counts up the CP and that sort of thing. Instead now, when you click on, so let's say you do a Mewtwo raid, you'll see the animation the first time, and then you won't see that animation again for the rest of that game session. So it doesn't matter how many different gyms you click on for Mewtwo raid, you won't see that animation, it'll take you just straight to it, which will be nice.
And that, I was gonna say, does that reset on reboot then? Like when you reboot the game?
They tested it in the chat earlier, and yeah, it on reboot it loses that information. But for things like raid days and that sort of thing, that would be very useful for getting into raids a little bit quicker.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, if we just have a ready button, it'd be great. But nothing on that yet, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Maybe they'll take it from the dead Harry Potter game.
Maybe. That would be nice.
That's how code works. You just copy and paste and it just works.
To be fair, they do seem to do that quite a lot.
That I mean, yes, they do. cool. This isn't new in this update, but we were able to deobfuscate a lot of it, and we were able to get a lot more insight into it. There's a few things added to it, but postcards is a new system in the game. Some people thought it might, because like Pikmin has postcards in it, like that's basically how you send gifts to each other and stuff like that. But this is in the code, it's specifically part of the Pokemon Go code, not the Niantic Lightship code, which is the stuff that's reused among all their games. So this is specific to Pogo, and it specifically ties into the gift boxes that are also Pogo specific. So this is a Pogo feature that, as far as we can tell, is not related to anything else. But the things that we were able to, I guess, unearth a little bit more from this, you can choose to share your trainer info. So you would get a postcard from like a stop, like it's very similar to how you get like gifts. So you get a postcard from like a stop or something like that, and then you could choose if you want to, when you send it to someone, you can share your trainer info. That's like your name, nickname, I think it had like XP and some of the other standard stuff in there as well. But you can choose if you share that or not when you send it. Mementos, we got this wrong in our first pass through, and now that we were able to deobfuscate this, we know a little bit more about how this works. So we thought what we thought was like editing memento or editing postcards, it was about like the memento display and like how mementos are shown. So there are still multiple types of mementos, but there's only one type right now, which is the memento, so maybe they will add more. But these are, they kind of sound like gifts, I guess, and they're tied to a specific location and a time, and they're always linked to a postcard. So, like, I don't know if it's like, oh, I found a rock, and I'm going to send you this rock with my postcard. Like, there's not a whole lot of information on this. Maybe it's like a combination of, like, you know, like the buddy gift souvenirs. Not that system specifically, but something like that. It is its own system, so we'll have to see what these mementos are. When they add texts for these features, it'll really explain, I guess, a little bit more what these mementos are. But
I'm sure there'll be a tutorial on them as well, so that will help as well.
Yeah, for sure. The postcards contain, like, in terms of the data that they contain, we were able to figure a little bit more about that. Trainer nickname, which is pretty obvious if you like share it, but also they specifically use the term code name, like player code name, and there's no other hint for this anywhere else in postcards, but the only other time that they use the term code name is when they're doing cross game thanks to like Niantic Social, the code name is the name that the game actually has in their like Pokemon Go's code name is Hollow Hollow, for example. So if the code name in like this cross game stuff would be like when you're like adding a friend, it's like the code name would be Hollow Hollow. So like Harry Potter would know, ah, this is a friend from Harry or from Pokemon Go. And so it just, it could just be a coincidence that they used code name. Maybe code name means something different, but it did make us think that maybe these postcards will be cross game, that you can send a postcard to someone in like Pikmin or something. But again, there's no other further evidence to it other than this one very specific field that is probably just named ironically, but not related, but we'll have to see. The new, we did find a new gift details state. This is like the, basically like the state the gift is in, like if it's open, things like that. And it's not specifically tied to postcards that we saw, but it's, it was added with the postcard stuff, so it's probably a safe assumption it is with postcards. And then they added the GUI. So in the last update, they only added the backend to be able to like handle postcards. But in this update, they added the GUI for like editing, sending them, deleting them. Sorry, not editing them. Sorry, viewing them, deleting them, things like that. And they added assets as well. There's a little collection book. We're not entirely sure where that will show up. It looks like, like the, if you see the graphic, it looks like one of the icons, like when you're in an encounter screen, one of the white icons where you like can run, go into your camera. It's like that same style. So it doesn't look like it will be like a main entry in the inventory list. Maybe it'll be like you click on gifts and it'll be an option at the top or something. So we're not sure where that shows up, but that's kind of it on postcards. So we're still not sure like what the point of these things are. Like it looks like there will just be a different way to send gifts, but we don't know what they are, and once they add the text, we'll know a lot more.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably to get around the whole thing of like, I've got so many friends that hoard gifts from GoFest and that sort of thing, and so instead of hoarding the gift, you can instead keep a postcard from that location that you're at, and you can send someone a postcard from that place to them, and they can keep it too if they want.
Yeah, true, because there is, we saw in the last one, you can like favorite postcards to like prevent them from being deleted. Yeah. So yeah, that's a solid theory.
But yeah, so yeah, the postcard stuff will be interesting. I'm not bothered too much, but I know people will enjoy it, so I'm sure they'll be happy with whatever happens with that when it eventually comes in, which I feel like is probably not too far away, but we said that about Giftable, and that was like 8 months, so what do we know?
Fake news.
Yes, very much so. And then a couple of other little bits, nothing super interesting, but we had some lore animation updates. I haven't personally noticed too much different in game yet, but I haven't seen that many lores around either, to be fair. The only thing I have noticed is that when someone puts a lore down, next to their trainer name now, when in that little pink box that it shows, it will show what type of lore they put on as well, in case it wasn't obvious enough from the animation.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah.
Just for accessibility and stuff.
It's also good. Definitely. Raid blogging now reports information about the gym that it took place at as well. So I guess Niantic just wanted a bit more information on the raid logging feature to see if it was certain gyms causing issues. Maybe if it's like, oh, all these people have this issue on this network at this gym, it's probably just a signal issue. But I guess we don't know much about that because there's not much we can really see on that one, unfortunately, and what they do with the information. Although, did you see how much data they log each day in that report?
I looked at the raid log file itself. I couldn't figure out what to do with it.
But, oh no, did you see the Google report on Niantic and the data they store from Pokemon Go?
Oh no, I missed that. What was that about?
Oh, I'll have to send you a link later. But basically Google did a whole thing about, you know, Niantic and scaling up and storing information with Google and that sort of thing and how they do it. And one of the things talking about how they generate 5 to 10 terabytes of data per day that they store.
Oh my goodness, like, that does not seem optimized.
Like, we've seen they have a lot of logging in this game and a lot of telemetry, but that just seems like an insane amount of data.
They must be, I can maybe see they're logging everything. Like, I can imagine their database is ginormous because every spawn constantly being generated all over the world will...
But that's like, also replacing that itself as well. Like, yeah, that one database will be big, but it will just keep replacing the data in it, so...
But if anyone catches it, that like you still need that database entry. Like you can't, like once Maybe if no one catches it, they clear it. But if anyone catches a spawn, they have to keep that database record for that spawn.
Do they? I'm pretty sure that your Pokemon are just stored with the name, the stats, the moves, and where it was caught. So the GPS coordinates.
Maybe.
I don't think they tie it to this spawn ID. I think they just literally create an entry into your trainer record.
Maybe.
Otherwise, that would be an insane amount of data to keep stored. You have to store every single Pokemon ever caught. That would be ludicrous.
It would. Well, that would explain the 5 to 10 terabytes of data a day.
It would be. It would do, but yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then speaking of telemetry and that sort of thing as well, they added some new tutorials, and with those tutorials, they added some telemetry to roll back to the server. If you finish those tutorials, if you've clicked on them, that sort of thing. I did notice in 223 when I did my first click on a gym, the tutorial button in the bottom left corner was flashing orange at me. So I'm guessing that's part of this as well. And there's a few little updates on the game syncing lucky friends to probably help prevent some of the one-sided lucky friends, which I didn't think was still happening, but I guess it is an issue occasionally.
I see a few reports here and there, but it's not very widespread, I don't think.
Yeah. I think that is about everything. Anything else you want to talk about, Marty?
No, I don't think so. I think that has been a lot since the last update. 223 was a really big update. And we don't really have a lot of info on like new events, but it's kind of cool seeing... It's always fun seeing stuff that's been announced that we've either data mined and just seeing if we got it right or wrong and seeing how much we got right and how much we got wrong. And it was a pretty... You know, I think more on the we got more things wrong and since this last podcast, but still cool to see what we did get right.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully we'll be back again in probably 2 to 3 weeks of another episode, depending on what happens with updates. Again, like we said, we're not in any sort of set schedule for this. It'll just be as and when we've got interesting stuff to talk about. So we'll see you next time. Thank you very much for listening. If you do want to support us, you can check out our Ko-fi page where you can buy us a coffee or buy a pin. You can also follow us on Twitter at Pokey_miners. And you can join us on Discord at discord.gg/pokeyminers where you can find all the latest updates, join us for our live teardowns, and then just talk with the general community as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone. See you next time.